Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Republicans this weekend kept up the pressure on the administration, calling for a special prosecutor to investigate the Justice Department's monitoring of journalists' records and the IRS targeting of conservative groups. Now, talk of possible criminality at the IRS and overreach at the Justice Department has led some in the GOP to make comparisons to 40 years ago. Tenuous? Well, here's something to help you decide for yourself. May 1973, then, just like now, we were dealing with confrontations in the Middle East. We were on the cusp of an economic recovery. But the problem was that that recovery was slow and tepid and weak. Sound familiar? Only at the heart of this scandal was a president directly orchestrating and conspiring against his political enemies. And it all played out in front of the cameras when the Watergate Committee hearings began almost 40 years ago.
Mr. Butterfield, are you aware of the installation of any listening devices in the Oval Office of the President?
I was aware of listening devices. Yes, sir.
When were those devices placed in the Oval Office?
Approximately the summer of 1970. I cannot begin to recall the precise date. There was no doubt in my mind that they were installed to record things for posterity.
On whose authority were they installed, Mr. Butterfield?
On the president's authority by way of Mr. Haldeman and Mr. Higbee.
Alexander Butterfield, an aide to President Richard Nixon, being questioned before a Senate investigative committee in June 1973.
I can flatly say that the president was not involved in any cover-up of anything at any time.
Here was H.R. Haldeman, almost exactly 40 years ago, protecting the president before he would eventually go to jail for his own role in Watergate.
I maintain the standards of integrity, excuse me, that I've always set for myself and that the president set for us. And I feel equally assured and certain that there will be no question as to any inappropriate or improper involvement of the president in any matter related to the Watergate at any time, in any way.
Watergate and the hearings and trials that followed and the resignation of a disgraced president defined political scandal for this country. It is a definition that stays with us to this very day. We even attach gate to dust-ups now, regardless of their size or scope or seriousness.
Look, I hope you're sitting down. There's a new scandal rocking my kitchen rules. It's called Pastorgate.
But then you realize the Washington I was talking about before, a reelected president, a second term, a weak and tepid economic recovery, a capital descending into scandal, we wouldn't be the first to draw a parallel with much more recent events.
I didn't have all the facts. I didn't know what was on the list, exactly how it was used. Were there liberal groups as well as conservative groups? I didn't have the facts. I didn't have anything concrete. I didn't have a full set of facts to come back to Congress or the committee with.
That's former IRS Commissioner Douglas Shulman speaking last week in front of a congressional committee. Shulman's replacement at the IRS was Stephen Miller. Here he is being questioned by Congressman Dave Reichert of Washington State.
Mr. Miller, you're the commissioner. Who is responsible? You conducted the investigation. Who was responsible?
I don't have that name, sir. I tell
you. Why don't you have
that? I was originally.
Have you asked anybody? Who's responsible?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
You don't remember again.
Shulman and Miller don't have a lot of answers. And in this country, 40 years later, thanks to Haldeman and Dean and Ehrlichman and Nixon and others, hearing a government official say, "I don't know" or "I don't recall" fits into one box in the public psyche, the Watergate box.
This is both an ongoing matter and an ongoing matter about which I know nothing. I do not know. I don't know what has happened in this matter. I did not know. I don't know.
Now, here's the Attorney General himself, Eric Holder, asked last week in front of the very same Judiciary Committee that helped investigate Watergate what he knows about his Department of Justice spying on the phone records of reporters from the AP.
I don't have a factual basis to answer that question. I don't know. Good question, and I'm not sure what the answer is. Don't remember that, no.
It doesn't take a big leap of the imagination to recall the previous outrage at what was then seen as the very worst example of government overreach and abuse of power.
It reeks of the worst kind of totalitarianism. It reeks of what would be in another country called a police state. And I'm flabbergasted that this kind of activity has been going on at the summit of government, the White House. What a poor example to set to all citizens on the right of privacy.
That's Senator Henry Scoop Jackson speaking 40 years ago. Now, there's no evidence right now that IRS employees targeting the Tea Party or the Justice Department investigating journalists or Benghazi amount to anything near what happened 40 years ago in Watergate. The break-in, the use of direct presidential power against political enemies, the cover-up, the resignations.
Throughout the long and difficult period of Watergate, I have felt it was my duty to persevere, to make every possible effort to complete the term of office to which you elected me. In the past few days, however, it has become evident to me that I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort.
But what took place 40 years ago bears a second, third, or fourth listen today. Back in 1973, Senator Sam Ervin said the presidency and Washington was sick, gravely sick.
We don't like the surgeon's knife, but sometimes it comes a cancer. That the only way you can eradicate it is by the use of the surgeon's knife. And I think you can have such a thing as a cancer on the body politic that has to be eradicated the same way. And I'm frank to state, and I'm not stating this in the nature of a threat, but I've been given, as chairman of that committee, a mission performed.
The White House today is doing its best to move on. It's not doing a very good job. Based on what we know now, it's at best a stretch to draw too much of a line between Washington in the summer of 2013 with the political climate generated in 1973. 40 years ago, Sam Ervin said Washington had a cancer. But with the flashbacks and the memories and the anxiety, Washington seems to have something more like a four-decade-old lingering case of post-traumatic stress.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.